All right, guys. I know it's been a very, very long time since I've been on here. And honestly, there's just been so much going on. I feel like my podcast is like the last thing that I really want to do, the last thing that I really have the mental capacity to do, the mental sanity to do. So I've just kind of stayed away from it. I've actually stayed away from content in general. There's been like clients that I've worked with still who have hired me before I became a Christian counselor, and I'm still working with them. But as of right now, I think that I just need to like take it easy on myself and not take any new clients, because it's honestly just been stressing me out more than it has been doing good. And that's not what I want. What I really, really want to do is to be able to help people, right? Emotionally, mentally, financially, physically. And I can't do that when I'm not my best self. And I don't really know where I'm going to be going with this episode. All I know is that this is season 3. And season 3 is taking a huge turn in what my podcast has been about. Because my podcast has always been about just like the flesh, you know. And showing people that like they are the creator and they are the ones doing it, and then they have to rely on themselves. And what I've really realized since becoming baptized and becoming a Christian is that you can't do it all on your own. And I tried to do it all on my own for years, and it literally didn't get me anywhere but more demonic oppression. And yeah, so I don't know if that's what this episode is going to be about, but I do know I need to get something out there because it has been so long and so much has been going on. And I do need to let my audience know just a little bit about the different venture that I'm taking and the different business model that I am about to go with. Now, I'm still a counselor and a hypnotherapist, and it's still something I want to do, but I do need a break from it. So what I'm doing instead is I'm selling digital products. I'm actually selling only one digital product. And what this digital product does is it teaches the newest entrepreneur or somebody who already has a business how to automate it. So it shows them how to expedite sales. It shows you SEO, it shows you blogging, content strategies. It literally shows you absolutely everything you need to know as an entrepreneur to have a successful online brand. And the best part about this is that it has master resale rights. So what master resale rights means is that I buy this course once. So I bought it, I believe it was like $497 USD, so it was like $660 Canadian, but I can resell this course as much as I want over and over and over and make 100% profit from it every single time. And so this is what really differs from affiliate marketing, because with affiliate marketing, normally you have a link and people click that link and you make a certain percentage off of what they buy from you from that link, right? Well, digital marketing, like selling digital products, is super, super, super different. There are a lot of similarities, but when it comes to the amount of money that you can make, it's super different. So I bought this course ultimately so that I could learn how to automate my current business that I have with my therapy and my counseling. And it's been working, you know, the entire time that I've been like working online, I've been using WordPress. And if anybody has tried to use WordPress before, you would know that it is an extremely hard site to use. There's a lot of third-party plugins. There's a lot of technical support you need. And a lot of time, they're not even around. So I believe like per year, I pay like $700 or something like that for my business account. And I can barely do anything business-wise related with it. So I was getting really sick and tired of it. So that's why I bought this course, so that I could learn my email campaigns and I could learn my content strategies. And I could learn how to actually properly edit reels and make reels and create content that's going to attract the people that are going to buy from me and the people that are going to want my help. So originally, that's why I did it. Now, not only did I get that value out of this course, but I realized that now I can actually make a business out of it, and I can resell this course over and over and over. And there's a lot of people who follow me on my old Instagram account. Now I made two, because what they recommend in this course is that you make a new one because the algorithms just like you better that way, right? But I still have my old Instagram account, and I've been posting on there a little bit about like what I've been doing, but not too much. And I just really see the difference in like the engagement in having a new Instagram and having a new algorithm compared to having like, what is it, like 4,000 followers or something like that I have on my other one. And that's like a completely different niche, right? Like that whole target audience is meant for people who want mental health help. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to. I've been just trying to learn the ins and outs of System.io and email marketing and all of these things. And you know what? I'm not going to say that it's super easy. It can be simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy. But once you get it, you get it. And I will tell you, when I was trying to use WordPress, I have been trying to teach myself how to create a landing page, okay? So that's like a funnel, so like an opt-in page, somebody to just come to the page for my free offers, give me their email, give me their name, so that way they're in my email database, that way that I can email them every week. And I could not for the life of me figure that out. And every time that I would reach out to support, there would be all of these extra fees that I would have to put in. They would tell me to do it this way and it didn't work, or this way and it didn't work, and blah blah blah. So anyway, System.io is super 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 simple. It's like step by step. And what I love about this digital course is that it gives you, I believe it's like over like 145 videos. And they're pretty short. They're not longer than like 10 minutes. And it goes step by step by step on how to create these funnels, how to create your web pages, everything. It's just amazing. And I wish that I had this course at the very beginning, because when I started in affiliate marketing, I spent over $10,000 on my product alone. And those were very, very, very hard to sell, obviously, because of the price, right? And I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I didn't know about creating landing pages or webinars or email marketing or any of that. These courses were never teaching me anything. So this course has been one of the handiest things that I ever have had. And if you are somebody who is just like starting out, whether you're in like Monet or Etsy or whatever, like there's so many different types of business models going out there, I really highly recommend that you use this course, just so you know what you're doing and you know how to build. And not only that, but you can resell this course if you want to as many times as you would like, and you can like make as much money as you want. And what really got me into this was seeing people that I knew from Enagic, who were also very successful in Enagic, but had kind of given up with it because, again, the products are so expensive. They're so hard to sell, right? And it can be really, really detrimental to your mental health and other people's mental health when you see them invest so much money and then them not make their investment back. So, yeah, that's really what I have to say about that. That's what I've been up to. What's absolutely amazing is when I'm literally just sitting here reading my Bible, because I do that a lot, or I journal, you know, or I nanny sometimes still here and there. And I just get a notification that I just made $500. $500 right there. And do you want to know what I had to do to make that $500? I had to create a funnel, which of course was a little bit tedious. But again, System.io, this whole course that I bought walks you through how to do all of it. You know, you create that funnel, and then from that point on, you just create reels on your new Instagram, and people are attracted to those reels, and from those reels, they'll click on your link and they'll buy from you, or they go through your DMs, or they go through your emails, or whatever it may be. But it's passive income, guys. It's literally passive income. And what really caught my eye about this was seeing people make tens and thousands of dollars in the first couple weeks. Now, these results aren't guaranteed for everybody. Like, a lot of the reason why people are having these results is because they've been in online marketing for a long time already, so they already know content strategies, they know their email marketing, they already know how to properly post reels, they already know how to properly get on their stories and all of that. So success is going to be different for everybody, but as long as you stay consistent with it and you're posting your reels and you're getting on your stories and you're actually talking to people, and you know what? I do have to say, you don't have to show your face if you're very camera shy. You don't have to show your face. It might take you a little bit longer to make the sales of what you're looking to make. But you know what? What could even an extra $1,000 do a month, or $2,000 or $3,000 do a month, right? There's some people out there doing 80 grand a month right now. Now, these are people who have obviously been in the online world for a very long time. So these results aren't guaranteed to everybody. But that's what really, really caught my eye about this business model, was not only was it going to teach me how to do everything I need to know for the current business I already have, but now I have a new business, and it's just been more than amazing. And that's all I can say about that. And so that's kind of what I wanted to go into a little bit about this podcast episode. My mental health when it comes to therapy and counseling right now hasn't been very great. And like, I have not opened up about this a lot, but you know what? I really had to turn to God, because I was under a lot of demonic oppression, like to the point where, like, if I was telling you some of the dreams that I had, you would run away from this podcast right now because they were so scary. But there were just so many dreams about, like, me dying and sleep paralysis and demons just hurting me. And I knew it was a spiritual attack. And I've been attacked my whole life. It always hasn't been this bad. But I do believe that when I came back to BC, my spirit was really fighting with the Holy Spirit, because the people that I live with are Christians, right? So it was like the dark and the light, and the dark and the light don't mix. They don't like each other, but the light will always win. The light will always, always, always win. And the light won me over at the end. And so when I became a Christian, there were just so many things that I had to start, like, unlearning, and so many things that I had to start doing differently. And there are just so many realizations, and there still are every single day. And I know that God is just telling me to take a break right now. Like, I changed everything to being a Christian counselor, because I didn't want to teach people anymore that they are the ones who can do it. They are the ones who are the creator. They are the ones who are in control of their life. Because sure, maybe that's 50% true, but who is the real creator? It's not you. It's God. And if you think that you can just heal that anxiety on your own, you're wrong. Because I tried everything for years. I tried CBD. I went on meds, meditation, yoga. I was doing all of these new age practices, which is, again, for a different podcast episode. But I thought everything was helping, when in actuality, I was just allowing more evil spirits in, and I was opening the door to things that I didn't even know I was letting in. Now, after I became a Christian, got the Holy Spirit in me, you know, and Jesus became my God, my Savior, things really, really started to change around for me. And I'm just going through some huge transformation right now. So I feel really called to go onto this new business venture and just really take a break from, like, the whole mental part of it. And so, yeah. And so one thing that I really haven't opened up about, and it's very hard for me to open up about, because I'm very, very ashamed, and I feel very, very guilty about it. But for the past 2 years, literally this month has been 2 years, when I had first moved to BC, you know, there was a lot of things that happened. There was a lot of friends that dropped off. There was just a lot of people that I lost, like, in my life, you know, because of COVID. because of like just different political matters and views and perspectives. You know, I wasn't allowed to see a lot of my family. It was just very, 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 very hard. And so I really found myself running to substances, because running to substances just kind of numbed the emotion. And numbing the emotion just meant that I didn't have to feel it. I didn't have to think about it, right? And I was still a full-time student. I was still doing two full-time programs. But I loved just sitting here and just, like, having a drink. And it would relax me. And, like, eventually it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And at the time, I was in a relationship. Now, this relationship was very, very toxic, and I'm not just going to blame one person. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just him. It was both of us. We both had our own trauma. We both had our shit going on. But, you know, I really, really did love this person, and I wanted it to make it work. But it was more of a one-sided relationship than anything, is what I'm going to say. And I was obviously the one who was more invested, and we both can say that. So anyways, in the middle of November, you know, after everything that was already happening, I had found out that I was pregnant. And what was interesting was that I have PCOS, so I was told that I was never really able to get pregnant. I had a very, very, very low chance of getting pregnant. But I did. And I just remember, like, the day that I found out, I was just, like, in complete shock. I didn't know what to do. My body hurt, but I knew something was up. I just didn't know what it was. And so I ended up telling the guy. Anyways, he told me, completely manipulated me into it. He told me that he was never going to trust me again, and he was never going to be able to get closer to me, and he threatened me and told me that it wasn't going to end well for me, and so all of these things. So that made it even worse. And so I wasn't the one to believe in abortion, because I believe that, like, even before I became a Christian, I believe that, you know, everybody is made in the image of God. It's not just some clump of cells. There's a spirit that's already there. And so I didn't want to kill it. I didn't want to have to go through the abortion. And nobody really talks psychologically about what it does to the female after. Because as a female, you have this biological instinct, right? To, like, protect. And that's what I wanted to do. Like, that was my baby. That was nobody else's baby. Sure, that guy didn't want to be a part of the picture. He was going to threaten me. He was going to do whatever he wanted. But that was going to be my baby at the end of the day. And maybe that sounds really selfish, but that's what was going through my head. And, you know, like, within the first 6 hours of me finding this out, it was just too much for me to take in. I didn't know what to do. So for the entire week, I had it in my head that I'm going to have this baby, I'm going to have this baby, I'm going to have this baby. I can't have an abortion. I don't know how I'm going to financially support it, or emotionally or mentally. I don't know what I'm going to do, but, like, I'm going to have this baby. And then it finally got to a point where I just realized, like, D, like, you can't do this on your own. Like, you know, you got threatened. You know, you don't have a lot of family who's there. You don't have a lot of friends that are there. You don't have a lot of support. You're still going to be in school by the time this baby is supposed to be born. Like, what are you going to do? So I decided to have the abortion. Now, again, people don't talk about the psychological side effects. See, this is, like, the biggest fucking genocide that we've seen in human history. Everybody is telling us to have an abortion. Everywhere we look, it's being promoted, and it's sickening. It's sickening because nobody talks about what it does to the mom psychologically. Psychologically, I will forever be damaged by this. And I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but I will tell you that it is a trigger. It was a trigger for my substance abuse to get worse and worse and worse. After I realized what I did and I couldn't take it back anymore, and then it wasn't just a little clump of cells, that, you know, that baby was part of my DNA, that baby was part of me, that baby was mine, and I made the choices that I made, I literally couldn't handle it anymore. And then not only done, but I was still in a very toxic relationship. I don't know why I stayed in that relationship after that. You know what? There's a lot of issues that I still have to work on. And I know that, which is why I stayed single, which is why I haven't even tried to go near anybody, because there's just so much that I need to work through on my own before I even attempt to get close to somebody again, because I will never, ever put myself in a position like that again. I will never let a man treat me like that again, and I will never treat somebody like that again either. So anyways, that relationship went on just for a little bit longer after that abortion happened. And it got even more and more toxic. So I just kept using more and more substances. And then I would come off of the substances. And then I would like go back on them. I would come off and I would go back on. I would come off and I would go back on. And I thought that, like, you know, after the breakup, I think that happened in like March or something of last year. I thought, like, you know, that was my rock bottom. Like, me using substances all the time, having that abortion, like, losing somebody that I actually truly really did love. I just couldn't understand why it was so toxic and why we couldn't figure shit out. I thought that going back to Alberta, you know, and not being a nanny anymore and just, like, working full-time on my therapy and counseling career was the answer. Now, going back to Alberta really just brought my addiction on more. Now, this is something I have never, ever, ever opened up before about. But I know that you all can tell I really fell away from social media. I fell away from creating podcasts, from posting, from creating content. I fell away from hiking. I fell away from myself. I completely lost myself. On January 2nd, I ended up in the hospital just for a lot of suicidal ideation. There was just a lot going on there. And then I felt like I couldn't take it anymore. And so I came back to BC and I had to be surrounded by the family who were very spiritual again, right? The Christians, the ones who are literally my family. Nobody has ever treated me with as much consideration and care and love and empathy as these people have. And even though I don't talk to my mom and my dad's not in my life and I'm not close with really any of my family, these people are my family. So I knew I had to come back. And anyways, I came back on February 11th. And that's when the demonic oppression really, really, really started to get bad. Because again, my spirit was battling with their spirit. And I was having constant dreams about me dying. I was having constant dreams about me. Like, I would literally be in sleep paralysis. And I would want to wake up and throw things at the wall. But I couldn't, because something was just holding me down. And it was obviously a spiritual attack. And everybody knew what was happening. So anyways, a series of events kept going on, and, you know, the people that I live with kept preaching the gospel just like they always did for 4 years. It never really got me, though. And then I ended up going to Alberta to sell my car just because there were a whole bunch of things that were happening with it here, which is, again, meant for a different podcast episode because it's going to be too long if I get into that right now. But I couldn't keep my car here. I had to bring it back to Alberta to sell it. And to come back from Alberta to BC, Lori's brother, which is like one of the girls that I live with, drove me here. Now, we were in the car together for about 9 hours. And he again started like preaching the gospel because he's a Christian. He's a beautiful human being, though, and he didn't do anything wrong. Nothing he did was wrong. Nothing he was saying was wrong. But for some reason, I was mad. Like, the spirit in me was just like, shut up. Like, why do people keep preaching the gospel to me? So then anyways, he's in BC for a couple days, and I ended up going down to the river 3 days after he drove me back to BC. And ended up meeting this family there, and this family was from Calgary, well, from Canmore, right? So they came from Alberta in May, so that was like 2 months prior. And again, they're Christian, and they're preaching the gospel. And they didn't say anything different to me than what Pete and Lore have been saying for the last 4 years. It's not anything that I haven't heard before, but they were talking a lot about like yoga and Joe Dispenza and just all this new age stuff that I was in. And I really realized that, like, oh my gosh, what I'm actually doing is evil. I'm allowing all these evil spirits in, and I haven't even realized it. And it was like, so I left home this morning, I went to the river as one person, and I came back, and I was a completely different person. I can't explain it. The Holy Spirit just does that. He does that. And you could see him working through me, through people, to try to get to me, because he knew I needed saving and he knew I needed help. And so, yeah, that happened. And then I went to Bible camp 2 weeks later. I got baptized. There was so much that happened there. That's also four different podcast episode. But that's kind of the journey that I've been on. And now there's huge transformations happening. There's huge realizations. I still deal with demonic oppression. The only difference is now is that I have Jesus, and Jesus can cast it out right away, whereas before I would just have to like suffer through it. And one thing I will say is that, like, if you are not in a head-on collision with the devil, then that means that you are going in the right way. And the reason why my demonic oppression got so bad when I got back here was because of that, was because the Holy Spirit was working against him. So he had to work even harder to try to continue to take over my life, right? Whereas before, when like I really like, I was living in Calgary, I was living with people who weren't spiritual, who weren't religious, who didn't believe in Jesus, all of that, I didn't really experience a lot of this. I experienced some of it as a kid, like weird paranormal things happening, like lights turning on and off by themselves, shower curtains opening and closing, things would go missing, that type of thing. But I was never under attack the way I was until I came back here. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit of my testimony. I know that there's a lot more to say than that. But again, it will just make the podcast episode really, really long if I get into it. One day I will keep opening up more and more and more about it. But the biggest thing that I wanted to take away from this was that, you know what, when I became a Christian, I realized that I needed a new business venture, so that's what I'm doing right now. And I know it's going to help people make so much money, and it's going to help people become so successful online, and so I'm super, super excited for that. And, okay, so before I end this episode, this is also very personal, but you know what, when you're a freaking personal brand, and you're an influencer, and you're trying to do everything online, you kind of got to be open about what's going on in your life. And I haven't really been doing that the past 2 years. I've been kind of keeping it on the DL just because it's been easier that way. But I really hope that this story can encourage some of you. So I was in the hospital again last week because I literally couldn't take the substance use anymore. And the thing about it is that, like, I would, like, come off of it, and then, like, I would go back on, I would come off, and I would go back on, I would come off, and I would go back on. And that's almost worse, because it's, like, you're giving your brain time to really heal itself, and then you're just fucking yourself up again, right? It's not, like, continuously fucking yourself up. It's not like you're giving yourself time to heal, so you don't give yourself time to go through that withdrawal and that detox and all that horrible, horrible, horrible shit. But it's like you give yourself time to heal and you get better, and then all of a sudden you're back into it. So it's like it just keeps getting worse and worse every time. So yeah, a week ago I ended up having to go to the hospital because my mental health was just so bad. The suicide ideation was so, so, so bad again. It's very, very, very hard for me to forgive myself for the abortion, and that's something that needs to be talked more about, because it's not just a clump of cells. It's made in the image of God. It's a part of you, and only woman can understand how psychologically damaging it can be when you know that you did something like that. And so I'm asking God every day to try to help me forgive me, to try to help me forgive myself for doing what I did with that whole thing. But again, that's meant for another podcast episode. But yeah, I was in the hospital and I went through withdrawal for about a week. And they were giving me lots of Valiums. I was still having like crazy nightmares. Like it's crazy what alcohol and drugs can do to you, what it can do to your brain. Like the nightmares it was giving me, like the way it was making me hear hell and fear and see hell and like feel hell. And it's only something that happens when like you're an alcoholic. Like if you're just drinking weekend to weekend to weekend, that doesn't really happen. But when you're like a full-on alcoholic and you're coming off and you're going on and you're coming off and you're going on and you're withdrawing, I'm just gonna Google it right now. It's something called Temerious Demons or something like this. Hold on. I can't find the actual name of it right now. Let me just go here. Okay, it's called, yeah, okay, delirium tremens. So that's literally where you have hallucinations, where you're like seeing things that aren't there, you're hearing things that aren't there. You close your eyes, but you can barely close your eyes, because every time you close your eyes, you like see a demon. And like, this is why alcohol is just like the most dangerous drug on the earth. And what's disgusting is that you can buy alcohol in every fucking corner of the street, and they know what they're doing, and they want people to be in this state, because when people are in this state, they're absolutely useless and lazy. And that's exactly how I was living my life. And don't get me wrong, there would be a month where like I would be doing so good. I would go through the withdrawal on my own, I would be doing so good in business would be doing so good. My health would be doing so good. I would be eating, you know, my weight was just keep going down and down and down. And then it was like the devil would catch me again, and I would get caught back up in it. And it was like, and then it would just numb the emotions again. And like, I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of things about my friends and just like the breakup and like the abortion that I'm not over yet. And so substances is the easiest way for me to forget about all of that. Now, after getting out of the hospital and detoxing for that long, that was the biggest wake-up call of my life. There's been so many realizations, and this is when I have really realized that I actually mentally can't help people right now, because I mentally need to be okay on my own before I do that. And also, what I do want to say before I end this podcast episode, I know I already said that, but you know what, we're going to just say one more thing. So the doctor ended up prescribing me 6 months worth of a benzo, and I can't remember the name of it. It's actually really hard to pronounce, and like an antidepressant. Now, I'm not depressed. Literally, the only time that I have suicide ideation or I feel depressed is when I'm, like, literally, like, fucking falling on the ground because I'm so drunk. Other than that, I love my life. I love what I'm doing. I'm excited for life. So, that I haven't really been taking. But the benzo that he gave me, he told me to take 2 a night. So, the first night that I came home, I didn't take them. But the second night I did, and they sedated me so bad. that I would try to get out of bed and I would literally fall over. I would try to look at my phone and it would be so blurry that I would just fall asleep instantly. I literally was sleeping like 16-hour days. I'm pretty sure I only took these pills for like, it was like 3 nights or something like that. And I was in the shower at one point. I fell like, my entire body is just completely bruised up. I have like a cut on my forehead because I fell outside. Like, these pills were not okay. And I have no idea why the doctor would prescribe them to me, especially after having an addiction the way that I did. Needless to say, I'm off those pills. I'm not doing them anymore. But I was craving them. And I only did them for like 3 days. So the other thing that I want to say is just be very, very, very careful of the doctors who you trust and the doctors who you go to. Because a lot of times they give you things just to make money off of you. And he gave me 6 months worth of this, and now when I was doing my research on these benzos, it says anything more than a couple weeks can become highly, highly, highly addictive, especially if you were already addicted to something beforehand. So my life has just been a journey. I feel like I'm still trying to like come off of this high and like come back to myself. And today I feel really, really good. Today, you know, I see the sales coming in and my funnel is done and my email marketing is getting so much closer to being done. And I just feel like I'm finally starting to get back on track. And what's like interesting is since I've been out of the hospital, I've lost like 10 pounds, and maybe that's not the healthiest, but I just feel so much better. I finally feel like myself. So you know what? These substances, these drugs, these benzos, everything that they're trying to tell you that is right for you probably isn't right for you, and you should probably do your own research on them before you decide to just take them. Because if I would have kept on with those benzos and I didn't have the family that I lived with, I wouldn't be dead yet, but I would die, because there's no way that I could keep living my life like that. And you know, on Monday morning, Lori, the girl that I live with, she like comes knocking on my door because she needs the car keys. She's like, has to go pick up the kids. And she opens the door and she goes, what happened to you? And I'm like, Lori, these pills are messing me up so much. I don't even know how to open my eyes right now. I was like, I keep falling. I can't stand up. I can't read. I can't do anything, and they want me to stay on these pills for 6 months. And she's like, okay, you know what, give me the bottle right now. She's like, you're not on these pills anymore, give me them. And so I gave her the bottle, and that was the last of it. And so yeah, Pete, the guy that I also live with, he was the one who baptized me. Love him, love all of them so very freaking much. But he also did his research on the benzos that they gave me. And you know what? These benzos were the ones that put Jordan Peterson in a coma for a week in Germany because his withdrawal symptoms were so bad. And so that's all I have to say on that. That's a little bit of my testimony. That's a little bit about why I'm changing my business venture right now, a little bit about what I've been going through, and a little bit about why I haven't been online. Now, this, I feel a lot of shame about, a lot of guilt. This is a very, 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 very hard for me to come out about, but I knew God was telling me to do that. What I'm going to do right now is just journal, and I find journaling helps a lot, especially when I talk to God and I just thank him and I just talk to him about my day and tell him about my day and tell him about what's going on. And it just helps so much. So that's my plan for the rest of the night. I don't even know if I'm going to post this episode. I just thought that I needed to get it out there. But yeah. So yeah, there's all that. I know that was a lot, but don't worry, guys, I'm fine. I'm getting much, much better, and I'm super excited to be on the journey that I am right now and to be with the family that I am right now. There's no part of me that tells me that I wasn't supposed to come back. And there's no part of me that tells me God put me back here for a reason. And I'm just feeling so grateful. So thank you guys, for all of you who listen. Not even just listen, but keep up with my content and talk to me and just create relationships with me. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys so, so, so much. More than you will ever know. Thank you for listening to my story. And you and I, we're going to talk soon.